Okay, we'll take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 13 to begin with. Hebrews 13. So I have a title that is a question for you. And it is simply this: is your life pleasing to God? Just think about that for a moment. Is your life pleasing to God? Now, there is an answer to that. It's either yes or no. Perhaps you're like, well, I don't know, maybe. And some might be saying, well, it doesn't really matter. I don't care. I don't know how we look at this. But I want to take a few moments and look at this subject. We're going to look at Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 to begin with. And then I've got over 20 passages to get to that we probably won't get to. But we'll get to some of them. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that we can open it and get some instruction. I'm grateful, Lord, that there are some young people here this morning that really want to do what's right and struggle because they find themselves getting in the way. That's the case for all of us. I pray each of us who are in that category would get some hope and some help. And, Lord, for those that might not have serving you on their radar, I pray that you just help them to listen and see the concern that you have for them and that others have for them, and how much of a better life they will have if they just get past themselves. So I pray you'd guide, empower, and speak to hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're there in verse 21 again. Look, it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Point out a couple things. First of all, as we get going, you got to stick with me for a couple minutes as we get through the introduction, because we'll get to the points. But that word well-pleasing, it's also in the scriptures. The same word refers to acceptable. We'll see that in a couple other passages. So when we're well-pleasing to God, our actions, our thoughts, our attitudes are going to be acceptable to him. And if something's acceptable, it's more than like we would say, oh, that's acceptable, it'll pass, it's fair enough. No, in the scripture's terminology, acceptable is well-pleasing. We're like fully in agreement and happy with this thing. And notice this passage that God works in us to make us well-pleasing to him. Isn't that a blessing that we don't have to do it all ourselves? We can let him work through us. Now, if he does the work, do we really have to worry about pleasing him then? Or is that just going to be automatic? Because he's doing the work and then we don't really have to focus on that. Follow with me. Then, does it really matter? That has implication. Does it really matter if we put an effort into serving God? Because he's the one supposed to do the work. And if he's doing the work, then, and he's the one that's making me well-pleasing and acceptable, and it's through Jesus, then how much effort do I really have to put in? And then what's the big deal if we live to please ourselves rather than to please him? Because I already please him, because he's working in me to please him, so I don't have to focus on that. You're scratching your head. Like, that sounds good, but I don't know if that sounds good. After all, God's love for us, let me ask you, is it based on what we do for him? So he loves us anyway. So if you don't serve God, he will still love you. Oh, this is getting more appealing, isn't it? He loved us even when we were lost sinners, and He loves us now whether we serve Him or not. So as I painted this little picture for you, He's working in us to do what's well-pleasing. He loves us whether we serve Him or not. We might be tempted to say, that's pretty good stuff. Does that appeal to you? So I really don't have to worry about working for Him. And whether I serve Him or not, He's still going to love me. So if that appeals to you, you may like another line of thinking that's been welcomed by Christians. A popular teaching goes something like this. Our acceptance by God is not based on what we do. Our acceptance by God is not based on what we do. So, is that true? Yes, no, both, ish. The reason this teaching is so appealing is that it claims that we can please God without the pressure of having to do anything. We don't have to be subject to the bondage of legalists who get up and preach all the lists of do's and don'ts. This is a grace message that is being put forth. Well, is our acceptance by God based on works? No. And yes. No, in one instance, yes, in another instance, it is true that we can't earn forgiveness by our works. However, God is very interested in our works after we get saved. He created us and saved us so that we would do works for Him. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, God has expectations for every Christian. He expects us to work for Him, and our works either please Him or they displease Him. And the notion that we don't have to worry about pleasing God leaves us another option. That I get to focus on pleasing myself. We like that option, don't we? And this is the default position. The default position for anybody is that they want to please themselves. It's selfishness. It's the lust of the flesh. It is sin. And here, now we start seeing that there is a movement that is promoting the idea that we can live for ourselves. And they're wrapping it around Bible. Can I say something to you? And I hope you think with me and listen. Pleasing self and living to please self is hedonism. You say, what's hedonism? I've heard about it. It sounds bad. It is bad. Hedonism, Merriam-Webster defines hedonism as this. The doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the sole or chief good in life. This is a devilish doctrine that the sole reason I'm supposed to live is to make myself happy. And Christians have bought this lie hook, line, and sinker. Everything that we do, everything we look at, everything that we say, everything that we listen to is revolved around making myself happy. It's the message that's been promoted by the new evangelical crowd for the past 50 plus years. And it is now commonly accepted in independent Baptists, but not by this independent Baptist and not by Fairhaven Baptist Church. And if we have this hedonism as our doctrine of life, things aren't going to go well. Oh, but we're promised they're going to go well. We're promised it's going to be a fun, happy, exciting life. Look at everybody else. doing what they want. There's a brand of Christianity, and I put that in quotes because you don't even know if they're Christian, that looks so happy living the way they want to. You wouldn't even know they are saved by looking at them. They look just like the world because you got to wonder if they really are of the world. Now, the God accepts you as you are message is very appealing, isn't it? Listen, I want to do what I want to do, just like you do. And I'm preaching this because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to see through this lie of the devil. So that's the title, again, the title of the message. Is your life pleasing to God, or are you busy pleasing yourself? Because that's what we've been programmed to do. That's the line we've been fed. And you can get on and you can stream, you can read, you can do all sorts of things that will pump your head and your mind with this philosophy. And you program yourself and you begin to live this lie, and you're going to find it doesn't really deliver. It does for a short term. But God accepts you as you are message is very appealing because you can dress the way you want to dress. You can wear your hair the way you want to wear your hair. You can watch what you want to watch. You can listen to the music that you want to listen. You can obey the rules in the school that you want to obey. And the ones that you don't think are worth obeying, you can just do what you want and hope no one sees because you don't really care. It's not about doing what you're supposed to do. It's about doing what you want to do. And if that's your life, that's going to be a rough life. To some people, skirting the rules is just a game. It's just a game. I can get around that. I can get around this. Watch this. You know how to play people. You know how to play the rules. You know how to put on the show. In the Bible, we call that hypocrisy, actually. And then the straw man argument is made. Well, I don't see a verse in the Bible that backs up that rule. So it's really not Bible. I mean, where'd you come up with that rule? Well, there's a lot of rules in life. Is there a verse in the Bible that says? You could apply this to all sorts of laws. Is there a verse in the Bible that says you shouldn't? Let me just stay on target here. There's a lot of examples, but most people live today to please themselves. If you want a verse in the Bible, it says, yeah, obey them that have the rule over you. That's it. I was 23 years old when I came to college. I had a lot of freedom before I came here. And I moved into the dorm, and I had to fill out a pass and get permission to go somewhere. And I'm a freshman. I have to have permission to go somewhere, and I have to have someone else go with me. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. You know why? Because that was the rule. And this was the authority. And I knew God established the authority. And if I wanted to please God, I would do what God said. So I filled out my passes. And I didn't go places that weren't on my passes. So you're a legalist. You say what you want. By the grace of God, I'm happily serving Him still. But most people today live to please themselves. They see anyone who opposes their self-indulgence as the enemy. And we don't like people who correct us. And the new evangelical leaders even help you out by saying that those who put pressure on you to follow strict guidelines of holiness are legalists and Pharisees. I'm just trying to tell you how it is. I get it. We want to do what makes us happy. We want to be happy. That's a nice goal-ish in life, right? We do want to be happy. I'll tell you, hopefully if we have time at the end, how you can be happy, right? God wants you to be happy. He really does. And it's very sad as a preacher to look out and sometimes see people, you're trying to help them and they just... The scowl is all over their face. It's like, this will help you. Your life will be revolutionized if you just accept the truth. But no, I'm going to fight it. You can. And you can feel that you're fighting us. We're not trying to fight you. We're on your side. We're trying to help you. We love you. We pray for you. But those who are trying to help you stick by God's word and please Him are not legalists or Pharisees. A legalist is someone who works for their salvation. I'll be the first to tell you, you cannot work for your salvation. But you do have to do some things to please God. So I want to consider what the Bible has to say about pleasing God. 3 points, and we'll cover some of the subpoints. First of all, number one, what we need is a will for pleasing God. Do you have a desire to please God? Or again, is it a desire to please self? Now, we should follow Christ's example. Did he please his heavenly Father? Absolutely. 6 times in the scripture, we read the phrase that the Father was well pleased with him. He lived to please his Father. Shouldn't we do the same? That my purpose in life is to make God happy, not to make me happy. That should be our goal. Not only should we be concerned about what our Heavenly Father thinks, we should also aim to please our parents. I'm 57 years old. My dad's 88. I still aim to please my father. I'm not in his house. I don't have to obey him. But I'm supposed to honor him. And I want to honor him. He's my dad. Jesus said in John 8:29, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Is that your goal? To always please your parents? Or really, does it matter what they think? Honor thy father and mother. Thy mother. Where is that found? He said it's in Ephesians. You know what was first found? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which is one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were written to children. Or were the Ten Commandments written to the entire nation of Israel, including adults? So I get this idea that everybody should honor their parents. Do those things that are pleasing in their sight. And if your mom and dad doesn't think something you're doing is good, then you shouldn't do it. Especially if you're still a young person under their authority, under the age of 20. I'm 20, I can do whatever I want. No, you still need to obey. I mean, you need to honor your parents. Do you care what your parents think about your friends? Do you care about what your parents think concerning your dating relationships? Or do you ignore the parameters that they or the school has placed on your dating relationships? This is a bonus. I just thought I'd throw it in here. But it's a by the way type of comment. Girls, if a guy breaks the rules either to be with you where you shouldn't be or to communicate with you, he does not have your best interest in mind. If the rule says you can't walk in a certain area or be in a certain place together and he's there, you are not his main concern. His main goal is to please himself. Do you really want a young man and marry a young man whose main goal is to please himself? Don't be surprised when you discover that he's inappropriate with another woman someday. Wasn't that Samson's problem? He brazenly said, "She pleaseth me well," and she did. But then he moved on to another "she pleaseth me well" type of woman. You will fall prey to his selfishness at some point in some way. And guys, if a young lady is not concerned with what her parents say, it's a sign that she lives to please herself. And not only that, if she doesn't obey her dad and honor her dad now, she will not submit to you if you get married. Because she lives to please herself. So guys, always check out the relationship between the young lady you're interested in and her dad. And if it's not good, you know your relationship with her is going to crash and burn also. Those are just by the ways. All right, so we need a will to please God. We should please God above man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak as not pleasing men, but God, which trieth the heart. So we need to worry more about what God says than what our peers think. Further, we should... We need to be eager to please God. Let me just say this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That word labor refers to fervor, being eager. We need to strive to be accepted of God. And that idea, accepted, again, as we defined earlier, is the same word that means well-pleasing. So get what Paul was saying here. He said, wherefore we labor. I'm being diligent. I'm working hard that whether I'm present with God in heaven or whether I'm here on earth still, to be pleasing to him. In other words, Paul wasn't waiting till he got to heaven to start living and pleasing God. He was going to do it right here and right now while he still had breath. He says, no difference. Whether I'm in heaven or whether I'm here, my goal is to please God and do what he wants me to do. Is that your goal? Do you have a will, a strong desire to please God? Like I said before, we all struggle with this flesh. We want to make ourselves happy and we take shortcuts. And I'll do this and I'll say this. I'll go here and I'll do whatever I want to make me happy. But you know, in the end, sin doesn't bring happiness. It's a lie. And then it's so devilish. When Satan comes by and he wraps these satanic lies up in a Bible verse using some false prophet, an angel of light, to make it all sound appealing, and you've seen your friends go that way and this person go that way, and they look so much freer and happier. No. It's all a smoke screen. The most miserable people in the world can look happy on social media one day. The next day, they've committed suicide. It's like, what? It's a lie. But we're not the enemy for pointing that out. We're here to help you. And I feel bad for people who are accepting that because I've been at it long enough to see the end. I've talked to some of you individually, said, hey, you need to do this, be careful of this. And it's just like, whew. Like I never said anything. In here, out the next, and cruising for destruction. So we saw we need to have a will for pleasing God. Secondly, I'm going to see some ways of pleasing God. I've got several of them. We'll just name them, maybe read a verse and kind of move on. Don't have time to comment on them all. But ways... of pleasing God. First of all, you need faith in God. That's, you can write these down and look them up later if you want. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You've got to have faith. You have to believe what God says above what you see. Faith is believing God despite the circumstances. And sometimes what God says doesn't make sense. You see everything else. I'll be happy if I do this. No. I'll be happy if I do what God says. But I don't want to do what God says. Ever been there? I've been there many occasions. I don't want to do what God says. I want to do what's comfortable and convenient, but I know what's comfortable and convenient in the end isn't. But I'll be happy if I can do what I want. No, you're not going to be happy. Let me just throw this out. If you're happy living in sin, you're probably not saved. And when you die and are judged, you won't be happy then. Let me move on. What I'm saying is, if you're happy continuing in sin over and over and over and over, and you have no remorse, no regrets, and you just love it and you want to hang on to it, and there's no way in the world you'll ever give it up, you're probably not saved. Secondly, you need the fear of God. The fear of God, whoa, that doesn't sound nice. I have to be in awe of Him and worried about what He thinks. Yes, you do. But that's opposite of the message I'm hearing from these other people. It's just so nice. I can jam out and I can look like a twink. I can do all these things. No. He that delighteth, Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. So God doesn't look down and say, wow, that horse is so powerful. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. That guy can run fast. Did you see how fast he just outran all the defenders? The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. That's who God takes pleasure in. So if I want to please God, which I should, one way I can do it is to fear Him and say, well, God says this, I'm going to be careful and watch where I go and watch what I say and watch who I'm around and watch my motives. Another way is by following God. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel has said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So does God get a great delight in that or something else? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So if I obey, I bring delight to God. I please Him. Fellowship with God, talking to God and praying for others pleases Him. 1 Timothy 2:1-3. We'll see that word acceptable, which also means well-pleasing. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So that sounds boring. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. It's pleasing to God when we're praying and in fellowship with Him. And so if praying pleases Him, what does it reveal about us if we don't have a fervent prayer life? Then we don't please Him. Focusing on God is another way to please Him. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. But I want to be entangled with the affairs of this life. I want to. Well, then you're not a good soldier and you're not pleasing him. It's very simple. So there are some things that are not, it's not sin to do, right? I like sports. I like following sports. But if I have a sermon to prepare and I decide, well, I'd rather watch a game and I spend 3 hours watching a game rather than preparing the sermon, well, now watching the game just became a problem. I'm entangled with the affairs of this life. I'm not called to be entangled. I'm called to please my Heavenly Father. I'm called to be a soldier. Can I tell you something about soldiers? Their primary concern is not playing. That's not their concern. Their concern is getting engaged in the battle. Are you? And you focus on God. When you're focusing on God, then these other things, they just don't mean as much, do they? Fruitfulness. You can just look it up, Colossians 1:10. I'm not going to read all of these. Another one would be forfeiture for God. I had to keep it with the F's there. Sacrifice. At times, we must forfeit some things for God. Now, Pastor Mitchell in Sunday night's sermon actually touched on this passage that I'm going to read, and even the whole idea, some of these thoughts, I'm like, don't steal my sermon. But in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. What's the next word? Acceptable, which is also means well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we see that giving up what you want to do with your body and with your life pleases God. But I want to do this. I want to wear this. I want to listen to this. I want to. But God doesn't want me. But I want to date so-and-so, and I want to hang out with, and God, I don't want you to. All right, Lord, I'm going to present my body, a sacrifice, and say, Lord, I want to please you, not myself. And that is tough. That's tough for me. Because my flesh screams as loudly as your flesh screams. Do this. I want to do that. So you're not spiritual. What makes a person spiritual? A lack of a flesh? No. But the willingness to forfeit what we want to do. That's what makes us spiritual. Pleasing God is the opposite of hedonism, and sacrificing for God brings some pleasure. We can talk about all sorts of other things, even sacrificing our time, our talent, our money. He said in Philippians 4:18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, that was financial support, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now we got both words used there, acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Why? Because they sacrificed and gave up a little for someone else who is doing the work of God. Isn't that exciting to be able to give to a missions offering? Once a month we try to have a missions offering. It's exciting to be able to do that. And then fidelity for God. The psalmist wanted more than just outward actions to be pleasing to God. He wanted his inward thoughts and his words to please the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and what's the next part? The meditations of my heart be what? Acceptable. In thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are your words acceptable? Really, are your words acceptable? The things you say? Things you say about staff? Things you say about your parents? The meditations of your heart? Those thoughts that come, those things you dwell on. Say, Brother Olson, you're meddling now. Yeah, meddling with all of us, right? It's not nice sometimes looking in the mirror of God's Word and seeing what's in our hearts. But that's the way we get clean. We see it, we confess it, and we let God work through us again. That's which is well-pleasing in His sight. Let me wrap it up, thirdly, with the whys of pleasing God. Some reasons why we should be pleasing God. First of all, it brings rest. You want peace in your life? People live for peace, but they don't have peace. A selfish person's life is marked by turmoil. Now, consider the alternative in Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, obviously, this promise doesn't negate all the other verses that godly people are going to suffer persecution. But But here you may still have enemies, but God will limit what they can do to you. And whatever God allows, we know He's going to use for His glory. But if I'm living for myself and the enemies are destroying me, no relief in sight there. But when you're walking with God and your ways please Him, you know that anything that He does allow, it's going to be for His honor and glory, and it's for the best. And you can say, okay, I can accept this. I can get through this. But you can't get through it when you're living for yourself. So there is a measure of peace promised to us when we please God. Secondly, we see rewards. Rewards. If just turn to Hebrews 11, if you would, quickly. But without faith, verse 6, I'm going to read some other verses, so don't think you, oh, I already know that one. We'll get to a couple other here. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if I have faith and I'm seeking Him, He's going to reward me. What are some of the rewards that He listed later through the chapter? In verse number 7, He talks about righteousness. That's a reward. By faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of His house, by the which He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Became righteous. You want to be righteous? Have faith. And that he will reward you for that. Verse 8, He provides guidance. You need to know what to do in your life. What step to take next? You need wisdom. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. And did God guide him? Absolutely. He obeyed and God guided him and God blessed him. In verse 11, he gave strength. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And we'll go to the rest of them, but in verse 29, you see deliverance. In verse 30, you see victory. Do you need victory? I'll read that one. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Why? They obeyed, and after the obedience came the victory. Please God, and He'll give you victory. You want victory? I just can't get victory. And you won't as long as you keep pleasing yourself. Please God. And then He gives reassurance. He gives answers to prayer. You ever wonder if God's real? You ever wonder if He's interested in your life? You see Him blessing other people. Does He bless me? Does He love me? One way to be assured of God's concern is through answers to prayer. And we can have answers to prayer, and you guessed it, when our ways please Him. When you please Him, it gets His attention. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. He'll hear and He'll answer prayer. Can I tell you this? Life's tough. Everyone in here is going to have a heartache and multiple ones. Everyone's going to have hardships, tough times. And you're going to need God to intervene in a miraculous way. And He's not going to do it when you're living for yourself. He'll only do it when you've been pleasing Him. And it pleasing Him allows Him to bless us. We need to put Him first. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.